Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, talks advanced analytics for us here on the Wendy's Big Show, helps us all become smarter baseball fans. He works for Sports Info Solutions. His name is Mark Simon, joins us Wednesdays 3:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Mark, appreciate the time, man.
Greetings. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Doing a lot better now that Jesus Aguilar seems to be breaking out of this thing with a couple of home runs in the last couple of days.
Exactly. Patience prevails with him. I mean, he was hitting the ball at a reasonable rate earlier this season, and now maybe the hits will start to come for him.
All right, so let's talk about our guy Yasmani Grandal. Let's check back in on Yasmani Grandal. I saw a thing the other day that came out that said Adam McKelvey of the Brewers website, MLB.com, tweeted out a thing. I don't remember who it was from, saying that Manny Pena was number one in pitch framing so far this year from a catching perspective. How has Yasmani Grandal done from your perspective?
Let's see. I'm going to actually take a look right now. I think that it's dangerous to judge on...
Just a month?
Judge on a 30-game sample. Although this is a stat where the cream tends to rise to the top pretty quickly. So, all right, Yasmani Grandal, we have him at just above average so far. So not elite, but just above average. And again, it's 30 games.
Let me ask you this. So when you talk about this stat that you put together and how you judge it and all that, have you seen a catcher get better as the year has gone on, or a catcher get worse as the year goes on, or is it normally a pretty steady stat for each catcher depending on how it goes?
It's a pretty steady stat, and I'll explain by telling you about three of the guys that at the very top right now are Buster Posey, Austin Hedges, and Mike Zunino. Those are all guys, Posey on the Giants, Hedges on the Padres, Zunino now with Tampa Bay. Those are all guys who in the past have rated elite, and it took them 30 games to rise to the top right now. The good tend to show it pretty quick, and then the bad guys tend to show it pretty quick too. But there isn't, like... It's a stat, I think, that's such that, like, today he's at whatever he's at, and in a week he could jump 10 spots, and
okay,
he could be the same that he's always been. Every week you guys come with some sort of concern about Yasmani Grandal.
No, it's just me. It's just me. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that harps on it. Nobody else on the station cares but me. I'm the only one watching. And look, the last three or four games, Grandal catching with his pitcher, they've done really well. Starting pitching's a turnaround here in the last three or four games.
So no wild pitches, no balls.
No, I didn't say that.
Mark. Didn't say that, Mark. Your New York Mets got a freebie on Yasmani the other night, but it just seemed to not impact the game too much. Mark Simon joined us from Sports Info Solutions. Mark, ERA seems to be sometimes a overlooked stat. Some people are trying to say that it doesn't mean as much in baseball, but one Brewer right now is leading the league in ERA. That's Zach Davies at a 1.38. Just how good have you guys seen Zach Davies be early on this season?
Okay, this is one where I'm going to kind of pop the bubble a little bit. Here's why. He's been really good, and the changeup has been the difference for him. Actually, I looked at this a minute before I came on here. The changeup's been really good. He's been getting great value out of it. It's been the outpitch that it was for him 2-3 years ago when he was pretty sharp. The issue is, this is kind of a common sense kind of think about it kind of thing. He has 21 strikeouts and 13 walks in 33 innings so far this season. Guys that have that kind of strikeout-to-walk ratio, it's very difficult for them when you're striking out 6 per 9 in this era. It's difficult to maintain a low ERA because people are going to hit the ball against you and people are going to get on base against you, and you don't have a weapon that can finish guys out. So you need the changeup to kind of get you that weak contact. So he's not your 1.38 guy. He's probably not your 2.38 guy. He's probably something in the mid threes. So there's going to be a start in there probably in the next two or three. where he's going to strike out two and walk three, and he's going to give up five runs, because that's what happens in baseball. And I would say, when in doubt about a pitcher, look at their strikeout to walk, and then think about whether or not they can survive with that kind of a number attached to them.
You know, if you're looking at Hader, is it pretty much all or nothing with him as far as the end of the game, giving up home runs?
Yes, totally. And I think we saw the all in New York when he was facing the Mets the other day, when I think they took like 13, 14 swings against him and made contact like once. I think the problem is that if someone does take a big cut against him, that they can crush it. And as a result, he's given up the four this year. He's probably going to give up eight or nine by the time the year is out. But in the end, if he's going to pitch 75 innings and strike out 125 guys, I think you're going to be pretty happy with the end result. The thing that I saw the other night, forget the numbers. That was ridiculous. He was off the charts.
Talking with Mark Simon right now, Sports Info Solutions, here on the Wendy's Big Show. We had a really great piece in The Athletic today from Jason Stark talking about things we've learned in April. And I just want to throw a couple of things at you that is pointed out in here.
Yep.
Did you know the most home runs hit in any season in the PED era was only 5,693 back in 2000? Do you realize right now they are on pace to hit 6,400 homers? That's 1,000 more homers, or right about 1,000 more homers, wow, than it was hit that year. That is stupid. Do you have any idea of what is going on, Mark?
There was another thing in The Athletic, and it was several months ago, but it's been making the rounds, and the pitchers are having a hard time throwing breaking pitches because they're not able to grip the ball with the same kind of manner that they were able to do so before. So they're stuck throwing fastballs, and the fastballs are getting crushed. Might be a little livelier. Wouldn't surprise me. People like to see home runs. So I would think that it's a combination of that and then the uppercut swings that you're seeing and the launch angle revolution. And that allows not necessarily someone like a Yelich, but other guys like Travis Shaw to be a 30-home-run guy. I think that's what it is. I think that's why we're seeing a rise in home runs.
Another thing pointed out in this thing are stolen bases. And stolen bases right now are on pace to be at a nearly 50-year low. The Phillies are on pace to steal 34 all season. The last time they won the World Series in 2008, they stole 136, to give you an idea there. Is this just, thanks in large part, due to the numbers game and guys playing the numbers, and we got 27 outs and we're not wasting on somebody possibly getting caught stealing?
It is, because it's been calculated that you've got to be successful 3 out of 4 when you steal a base. And back in the day with Tim Raines, Barry Larkin, I think, was another that fell in this class. They were guys that could steal 80 and get caught like 12 times. And there aren't a lot of guys in baseball today that can do that. Even if Billy Hamilton steals like 50, he's getting caught 20 times and becomes not worth it over the long run. And that causes, I think, teams to pull back a little bit, and I think you've seen that. The Brewers are efficient. They're 16 out of 20 so far, which is essentially what you're looking for. You would tell Yelich, hey, come on, get your 20 if you can get your 20, but there's no one on the team that's going to steal 40 or 50 for them.
Another thing that I found interesting was the intentional walks. Now, we were sitting here watching Yelich go on his home run barrage this month, and Bellinger for that matter as well, going, why are people pitching to them? Like, it doesn't make any sense why, if you have runners on base, why you'd be pitching to them. And then this thing comes out in The Athletic talking about that's on pace to be the lowest ever as well. As recently as 2001, back in this very century, Brewers manager Davey Lopes ordered 107 intentional walks by his team alone. This year, 5 AL West teams combined are on pace to issue 75 intentional walks. Are you in favor of or against intentional walks to great hitters? Like, you know, Barry Bonds was back in the day.
I think, I guess it kind of depends on who's behind you. And I think I was a little surprised that teams are pitching to Yelich as much as they are now. But people view it as you don't want to give essentially a free base to a team and give a team more opportunities to score more runs. Not necessarily the quality of hitter who's behind. So yeah, all of the things that you're bringing up are definitely statistically inclined people that have pulled the game into this direction a little bit. I'm glad you're bringing up things like this and not griping, considering that you beat Syndergaard, DeGrom, Marquez, and Freeland, by the way.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That game last night was stolen against Marquez.
I'm not going to do any of that. But to where I'm going with this a little bit is, because you're saying it's the front offices that have changed, and that's why you're seeing the numbers change, because different beliefs have gone into play. But I think you can also make the same argument. That's why some of these guys aren't getting paid what they want, because these numbers are being used now, where in the past, it was a couple of scouts and GM going, boy, I love that guy. I remember what he did 5 years ago. Let's give him a lot of money. And now the game has changed. It's not we're trying to screw the players. It's just that the fact that front offices are more smarter now than they've ever been.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it is a little hard. Like, even for someone like me, who has been watching since I was like four, I've gotten to the point where length of game gets on my nerves a little bit. The all-or-nothing approaches get on my nerves a little bit. I'm used to the Vince Coleman's and the Tim Raines and the guys like that were really good back in the 80s and the early 90s. And it's an interesting adaptation that's taken place in the sport. And I imagine that to the casual fan, it turns them off a little bit. But baseball's got to do something about that, because otherwise it's going to lose out to football in the NBA.
So, okay, Mark, I got one final question here for you then. You just told me that you were a big Tim Raines guy. Tim Raines, should he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, and it took me a while to come around to that. But the thing that got me to come around to that was not just the numbers. And I know there are arguments as to what clutch is and who's clutch and who's not. But if you look at Tim Raines, like, clutch consistency. If you look at Tim Raines year after year after year after year, he was a force in high leverage situations, like the really important moments in a game, as much as, and I guess in that time I'm thinking like Brewer comps, Yount and Molitor, as much as Mike Schmidt, as much as Dale Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
He was an end game star, and he won a lot of games at the end of games or in the really games with big hits. That was what turned me on Raines. The guy had 2,600 hits, 800 steals, 290, 380 batting average on base. But the thing that got me was definitely the fact that he was very much a guy that you would want to win with, I think is the best way to put it.
And you're our guy to win with, Mark. We appreciate the time, man, all right?
Thanks. Thank you very much.
That's Mark Simon joining us from Sports Info Solutions, as he does each and every week, 3:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Sparky, tell the good people about how they can get a close, comfortable shave for a very good price.
Only way to go, Harry's Razors. That's what I use. That's what you should use as well. And maybe Tosh just laid it out for you. Nice close shave. These razors are so sharp. It's funny because you talk to guys and you're like, you know, I shave faster now than I was shaving before using a different brand because of how sharp these blades are. And they're just blown away by it. Don't waste 4 months of your life overpaying for poor performing razors. What am I talking about? The average guy will spend 3,000 hours of his lifetime shaving. Invest in quality. Harry's Razors. Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of paying for overpriced gimmicks, right? So they decided to change the game a little bit. They combined a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Now, they decided to go buy themselves a world-class factory in Germany to cut out the middlemen and pass off some of those savings to you. And they've been perfecting the art of razor blades for almost a century in that factory. It's amazing. And they have a 100% quality guarantee. Now, here's your hookup from the Big Show. For limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of the Big Show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code SPARKY, S-P-A-R-K-Y, at harrys.com. That means you can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code SPARKY at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com right now, today. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's already. Use code SPARKY at checkout to claim your offer. Let them know I sent you to help support the Big Show.
I feel like a referee. I'm waving my hands up in the air, giving you your two-minute warning for $1,000 here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.